And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. I want to ask you about your audience and interacting with them and what they how they respond to your music. But first, I think we should do another live song.
All righty. Cool.
Oh, I'm going to play a tune, another tune off my upcoming record, Introducing Lee Ferris.
sounds funny when you say it.
Right. It is. We've just called it Introducing Lee Ferris instead of Lee Ferris. Introducing Lee Ferris. It would make, you know, it'd be too...
How about Lee Ferris and introduction?
yeah, that, you know, too late at this point, unfortunately.
That's what your autobiography can be titled.
Right.
The Lee Ferris Story. My guess is Lee Ferris.
All righty. Here we go.
Is Good. Killradio.org.
Ain't I never been to Louisiana? Ain't I never seen no flood? Getting pretty damn tired of all them poisons in my blood, especially in the morning when my mind moves like a train. Ain't I never been to Arkansas? Ain't I never seen no corn? Some days I sit and wish that I was never born, especially in the morning when my experiences wrap around my brain. So I walk on through the grass and my toes, they feel the soil, and all my tankers pass as they fill me with their oil. And all them dust brooms singing, yes, we're sweeping your insides. And I say, hey, hey, but they just run away and hide. Oh, don't you know the morning getting harder day by day, yeah. Lord, can't you make it so we don't have to be the same? Ooh, 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 Lord, can't you make it so we don't have to be the same? Oh, I come from California, come from the endless sun. I'm often waiting for a battle that could be won, especially in the morning when my ceiling, it starts to rain. Yes, I come from the ocean, I come from the Salton Sea. Oh, I'm often waiting, darling, for a time I could be a little bit more free. Especially in the morning when I'm under all that pain. So walk on through the grass and my toes, they feel the soil. And all them tankers pass as they fill me with their oil. And all my dust brooms singing, yes, we're sweeping your insides. I say hey, hey, but they just run away and hide. Yeah. Oh, well, don't you know the morning's getting harder day by day? Yes, Lord, can you make it so we don't have to be the same? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord, can you make it so we don't have to be the same? Oh, didn't do to let that bound, Lord, can you make it so we don't have to be the same?
Nice.
Thanks, man.
Really nice, man. My guest is Lee Ferris. You can check him out at myspace.com/Lee Ferris Music. And, of course, November 16th, his CD release show at the Mint. So let's talk about your audience. What kind of reaction have you gotten from audience members, like people who've come up to you after the show? What do you think they respond to the most?
My big old huge voice that I just scream at them with.
Is it the quality of the voice, or
well,
is it?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. I think I get a lot of, well, not a lot, but I've heard this sort of frequently in the last, say, 6 months to a year. I don't even like that music, and that was a great show. You know, I mean, and like, I'll come see
what
you again.
What does that mean?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's an old timey quality to my stuff a lot of the time. So, you know, it's. Maybe it's not the most top 40 popular, whatever you want to call it.
So you've turned them on to something new.
Right. It's not. It's old. It's not necessarily hip or necessarily, you know, I mean, like what's out there yet, let's say. But the way I present it, I guess they're getting a modern kind of take on what I'm doing. So it's, you know, I think they just have a lot of fun. And kind of like what I was saying, like that whole idea of breaking the fourth wall where like there's this imaginary line that is the audience and then there's me. I kind of immediately do my best to disarm all of that and them and let them kind of off the hook. Like you don't have to pretend, and you don't have to worry that I'm up here worrying that you're going to be laughing or clapping or anything, because we're all just here hanging out in the living room is kind of the vibe. So hopefully there's just fun happening.
Did you always feel that way, or like what about the first time you got up there as Lee Ferris, representing Lee Ferris? What was that experience like? Did you feel immediately comfortable? So you were nervous?
Really nervous, sure, man. Doing my first songs, my songs for the first time. I played a lot of coffee houses around town here, and however many years it's been, but. It's really, I think I played a show at McCabe's Guitar Shop about 3 or 4 years ago now, and I came out and there were a lot more people than I was expecting, and I think I ended up kind of, I talked a lot in between songs, and the people enjoyed it. There was just kind of a running the mouth kind of not knowing what's going to come next kind of aspect
couldn't
to the whole
up.
Thing, yeah, and, but... And then maybe like the next time thinking, oh God, I talked too much last time. So this time I got to just go straight to the next song. And all of a sudden I look up and the sound guy's like, you got like a half an hour left, man, and I'm done with all my song. So yeah, it takes a long time to start to kind of refine. And it's like a lifelong thing. You refine a set, you refine songs, a show.
What was your worst live performance experience? Like a technical disaster or, you know?
Oh man, you know. I think they're usually not so bad, even if the worst happens, because I try and make light of it. I think I played some colleges. I played up in Sonoma County one time at Sonoma State University, and they just totally rented out their PA to somebody like 2 days before some big touring band, and I was up there just to do like a little coffee house type thing in their. Like one of they call it the pub or whatever, you know, it's where kids have lunch. Maybe there's like 100 people in there. So there's no sound system at all.
Uh-huh.
And from that aspect, I just, you know, I just walked around from table to table and tried to make the best of it. The worst ones can be sometimes too when you're just really not feeling it. Because it's not that it's a job, because this is a really wonderful way to spend your time. But when you start to get into the idea of, okay, I want to do this all the time as much as possible, there's some times when you go, maybe not today, but I have to anyway.
And is that how you feel now, that you want to do this all the time as much as possible?
It's, yeah. I mean, I would say it's really hit stride in the last year and a half that this is how I want to spend my life. And I've been doing it. I mean, I surround myself with as much as possible, and it's a really, really rewarding, satisfying thing to just see a dream and go, what the hell? Just go for it all the way. So it's fun.
What kind of things have you done to promote yourself and to get people out to gigs? I mean, I know as a DJ, it's just like pulling teeth, you know, getting your friends to hang out at a bar just because you're there. As a performer, you have at least that added bonus of being able to say, you know, I have some new songs for you to hear or something like that. What are some of the techniques and tools you use to get people in there?
It's a tough one. I've kind of established myself as a guy that my live show, I'm not established per se, but I mean, so far, I mean, it's slowly but surely getting there. Well, a guy where anytime you come see me, it's going to be entirely different every time. And I think people really like that. You never know if people are going to like that, but I'm not. You know, the way I just played these songs sound way different on the CD, and those are all one take kind of things, and that's the way I am. And I think people have really, in a positive way, turned on to the improvisatory vibe that I have, where they go, what the heck is he going to do next? Kind of keeping them, hopefully, you know, on the edge of their seats is the idea. But And so I've been lucky in that regard. I'm really lucky like that. But because that's not, I don't really take full responsibility for that. That's just who I am and how that happens. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I try and just keep the most positive attitude possible when talking to people about my music. Look, you're going to have a really good time if you come out tonight. Check out this flyer. Go to MySpace. It gets daunting at times, and I don't, you know, it falls through, you know, where people don't show up, and I'm really bummed for 2 days or something. But I try. If you really let people know that it's not going to be just some kind of here I am, you know, just
look at me,
look at me,
guitar.
Check me out, yeah, the whole evening kind of thing. But it's going to be a fun time. And just really try and push that across. I think people respond to it.
It's so hard because you're a musician. That's what you do. But then you have to get people into the bars to see you if you're ever going to get gigs in L.A. And that means you have to be a salesman as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those are, you know, two very different personalities.
Entirely different things, yeah. And I'm just, you know, I just consider myself very much in the learning stages of all that. And, you know, I hope to meet somebody who's really great at it, who I can trust, but, you know, I mean, who wants to help me out. And I've got some assets and some friends for sure.
Do you have anything like a manager or a label interest or anything like that?
I have a friend of mine who's done a bunch of managing in the past, and he's been helping me out lately, and he's really great.
But the CD you're releasing on your own label?
Yeah, it's independently. I actually don't even,
we're not calling this a label, as a euphemism,
but yeah, it is essentially.
I burnt two discs the other day. I called it my label.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it is under, you know, the whole. It's my publishing company. It's my all, you know, independent, you know, representation of my own music. Yeah. So
for the people who are familiar with your live act, they're going to listen to this CD, and it's going to be this added bonus of hearing your more produced sound. Mm-hmm. For the people who aren't familiar with your live act, when they get a hold of this CD, do you think they're going to, how do you think they're going to respond to it? Do you think it's easy for people to get you and what you do from the CD when so much of what you do has to do with the live performance?
Yeah, I think so.
This is a test of your optimism.
Yeah, positivity. No, absolutely. I think it's a great, I really do feel that it's a good representation of me musically. I've had struggles with it, to be perfectly honest. The first time you make any type of recording that's serious or anything like that, I think you, or at least me, I go, geez, is this really what I want to put out there? Do I want to go back and erase what I did and start over? And but I do feel great about it. I think, though, I mean, my serious advice to anybody who hears this record is come see me live, because you're going to have a really great time. And it's a very interesting thing, I promise.
And they'll probably gain an even greater appreciation of the record.
Absolutely.
Sometimes that can backfire with some bands, I think. You know, you hear the CD and then you go see them live and it loses all of its magic.
Yeah, you kind of have to strike a medium. I think that's a tough one. You have to strike a happy medium between what is your live performance and what is your record, and are they both listenable and both exciting, and hopefully that's enough to get people to come out as well. And that's, you know, you just do the best you can.
Well, let's listen to another track from this record then.
Alrighty.
Let's see. This is the last track on the CD you brought in. It's called She's the One I Love.
Yeah.
Do you have an intro for that? Is there a story behind that?
Well, no. It's actually just kind of
It's not the same relationship from track two, is it?
Absolutely not. No. This is just a kind of a made-up silly thing about, you know, I think someone in anybody's life who just won't go away or can't, you know, is not perfect at all by any means. But this is not anybody specific in my life ever, but it's just made sense that that's an extremely imperfect person, and I love them. I don't know why.
My guest is Lee Ferris. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Big lie, never tells the truth. Oh, she said she wants me love to Babe Ruth, but still, she's the one I love. Yeah, she walk with a limp, she got a busted up nose, she got a lip that runs like a fire hose, but still, she's the one I love. a hard time all of the time. Should have seen her in her prime. Oh, she got a motorized walk, a mechanical talk, she make a jump, got a lemonade. If I could just get rid of that bitch, oh, you know I'd have it made. But she's the one that I love. 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 And her heart sings clang out only flat chords. And she swears to me she don't need me no more. But still, she's the one I love. Well, I kicked your teeth, a no damn smile. Oh, Lord, don't you know it took me a while. But still, she's the one I love. Seen her in her prime. Oh, she got a motorized walk, a mechanical top, she make a jump, got a lemonade. If I could just get rid of that bitch, oh, you know I'd have it made. But she's the one that I love. Oh, she's the one that I love. She's the one that I love. Seen her in her prime, yeah. She got a motorized walk, a mechanical touch, she make a jump, got a lemonade. If I could just get rid of that bitch, oh, you know I'd have it made. But she's the one that I love. Oh, she is the one that I love. Oh, she is the one that.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Lee Ferris. So, Lee, tell me about this unique style of production. Some of the songs on here, you're saying, that just tell me the difference between how people usually record a track and how you recorded some of these tracks.
Well, I mean, usually is a really, like, I guess, like totally relative term now because everybody's doing it at home and everywhere. But I guess conventionally, in my understanding, is you kind of do like a scratch track of your vocals and guitar. Everybody in the band... Scratch meaning you're intending to get rid of it later and re-record it, but everybody plays to that scratch practice track as time, and you know, to get the time of the tune and everything, and then you go back and you do it perfectly. And I didn't do that at all. I just played the acoustic guitar and sang with two mics, kind of like we've got right now, and then we mixed that pretty good, and then brought in the bass after the fact, brought in the drums after the fact, like in this last tune, brought in the girls, and I played leads on another guitar over it. So it just kind of, I mean, I think a lot of people do overdubbing like that, but the fact that the whole record is one take of vocals and guitar is what makes it a little unique, because there's,
yeah, definitely,
literally, it's just straight, we did all in one day, 12 tunes, it was 14 tunes on the record, but we did, I added two later the same way, but 12 in one day and then two later. So.
Now, you play live a lot, several times a month, mm-hmm. And you do more than just the Lee Ferris act. What are some of the other things you do?
I play with a really cool jazz group in town called Sarah Schweppe and the Blackjacks, and you can check her out at Sarah M. Schweppe, like the ginger ale. Her myspace.com/Sarah M. Schweppe. And that's a really cool, we do a lot of, you know, really cool band. We do a lot of traditional jazz standards that we arrange and make different and more modern. And yet we all get dressed up in the suits and do the whole old-timey thing. Well, not old-timey, but
do you find that kind of liberating?
It's really fun, yeah.
To not sort of be up there with all eyes on you and you're singing.
Oh, that thing? Yeah.
I mean, do you like sort of
it's
having
really
an
fun
alter
to support
ego?
Her. She's a really great performer and a fantastic singer. an amazing saxophone player that we play with, Jeff Termas, who I'm actually sharing the bill with that evening at the Mint for my own gig. He's got a CD coming out, and he's a saxophone player, guitar player. The guys who play the rhythm section, the drums and bass, are fantastic, and it really, it's nice to not be in the limelight. Of course, you always like to be if you're into performing, but it's a different role. So ultimately, it's more learning how to play that role as a guitar player, and you know, and be supportive. So that's really fun. And
do you find that you're like trying to resist, like while you're playing with other people, trying to resist stealing the limelight?
Hopefully I'm
doing. I mean, you must have this urge to shine, you know?
Sometimes, yeah, sure. That's a very, good question. It's a very honest truth. I think we all, if this is what you're doing, there's a reason to it. The reason you do it is because you want to show what you have to show, and you want to say what you believe is important that you have to say. But the supportive role is really a really good one for musicians to learn, because it can feed into all other aspects of your solo playing and things like that. And I just do my best to serve what's there, the project that's there. You can't really step on anything else. It's very obvious if you're trying to be
right
yourself. So,
well, before we go, I'd love to get another live song out of you.
Sure, man. Sure.
What do you got lined up?
This is a tune that's actually not on my record, but it's one you can hear me playing live quite a bit. It's about my job, the place that I work, but I won't disclose its name at the present moment.
Lee Ferris, CIA agent, is my guest on Is Good on KillRadio.org.
All right.
This place has got my number. It's got my head in a vice. I'm in some catatonic slumber, with boredom my consolation prize. I'm back broken, white-knuckled, weary, oppressed by neon lights. I might be the cat to change it, but it sure don't feel right. There's a silent movie history, 1,000 players on the screen, and I'm the one in that a monkey's paw. Hell yes, if you know what I mean. Oh, all a part of something. Some even say it's good, but you can give it all to them cats and them kittens, 'cause I'll be happy on the neighborhood. Now in hordes and droves they travel for miles, just to see what is. Oh, but this cocktail, it's gone flat, and this soda's lost its fizz. But it used to be the unhittable curveball, the West Side's Trojan horse, with them good old days of a war and baseball that surely run their course. And there's a roadblock where the highway was, 1,000 drivers waiting in line. The tires melt like butter on hot cakes. Yeah, yes, that shit don't smell too fine. No, we're all a part of something. Some even say it's good, 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 but you can give it all to them cats and them kittens, 'cause I'll be happy on the neighborhood. Out beneath the trees, bouncing in the clouds, swinging on the stars, I'll be. You should let me know if you want to go. I'll be on the neighborhood and free. Oh, we're all a part of something. Some even say it's good, but you can give it all to them. Or cats in their kittens. I'll be on the neighborhood.
Lee, how will you know when you've arrived? How do you know? Okay, all the work I put into it, learning all these instruments, training my voice, performing all these live gigs, putting together an album, it was all to arrive at this point so I can say I did it.
When I have a nice, solid 3-month tour of Europe lined up.
Good answer.
And ready to go.
I thought you were going to say when I have a couch instead of a futon. That was a much better answer.
No, man, because that's my dream, is to play over there full time.
And you've toured around the country a bit, but I haven't
been
around the world
around
yet.
And played in Boston a whole bunch, and I have traveled around the world, but I've never really done my music over there and in Europe and of course all over the world. But I would like to start with Europe, and I think that'll make me feel like, okay, things are good.
Well, they'd be lucky to have you. This is Lee Ferris. Introducing Lee Ferris is the album. It's going to be released and available pretty much everywhere that you buy music, CD Baby, iTunes, and the like, November 16th. And you're having this CD release show at The Mint, which is 6010 West Pico Boulevard. And more information, check out myspace.com/LeeFerrisMusic. Lee, thanks so much for coming in. You rock.
Thank you, John. That was cool. Really
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.